Well, this morning, I want to preach a message that I've entitled, Is Jesus Asleep in Your Boat? Is Jesus asleep in your boat? I can remember a number of years ago when my son was younger, we used to fish a lot. And, let me tell you this. If you are struggling to have friends, I'll tell you how to have friends. Buy you a pontoon boat. Okay? Buy you a pontoon boat and suddenly you'll have all kind of friends. I know, I never bought one, but I was that friend. So I had a friend of mine that he bought a pontoon boat, and he and his son and my son, we would go fishing about every Friday night down at Clater Lake. And I discovered a little trick. We would set those fishing poles. We'd stay out all night long, and I'd set those fishing poles. But I found out you can buy these little bitty bales, and they go on the end of your fishing rod. And then when you get a catfish hitting real good, then you hear that little bell, ding, 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 ding. You know it's time to wake up. Because I found out some of the best sleep that you could have was out in the middle of Clater Lake on a sleeping bag. You know, I mean, it's nice and it's calm until you get thinking about, well, what if one of those water moccasins climb up on this thing with me, you know? But the truth of the matter is, it is a good place to sleep. But you get where I'm going with this probably already by now. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 8. And as you go to Matthew chapter 8, we're going to take the 23rd through the 27th verse into account. And the Bible reads, "Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. They didn't say you're going to drown. They said, we're going to drown.' And he replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid? You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up." Notice this. It's that daddy instinct, that fatherly instinct. "Then he got up," even though it's obviously that he was a little bit frustrated. I mean, you're sleeping out on the lake, you know, and you're resting really good. Maybe you've had a stressful week, and somebody wakes you up because they're worried about drowning, and you've already said that we're going to the other side. Jesus done said they're going to the other side, so they had to go to the other side because Jesus said so. So he gets up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for it is the gospel. It is the gospel that will save us. It is the gospel that will keep us. It is the gospel that will carry us through life's journey. So today we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that I can bring it justice as I preach this word this morning. I behoove you. I need you. I ask for your anointing. And Lord, I ask that you anoint this people to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So is Jesus asleep in your boat? Now, our tendency is sometime to overlook small factors when fears and worries come our way. You know, sometimes we panic, and I guess maybe it's a thing as we get a little bit older in life, maybe we panic. You know, when you're young, you know, you go spend money. You could go spend money when you're young, and you know you're going to be broke as soon as you spend that money, but you don't really give it a whole lot of thought, and you go ahead and spend it anyway. That's why young people are broke all the time. But you give a little bit more, you're a little bit more conscientious to it, let's say it that way, as you get older. But sometimes we feel like the end of the world. It's the end of the world, you know. I've got something come up. I've got to, you know, the tires went. I had a bad tire on the car, or the battery went out of the car. Something broke. The vacuum cleaner broke in the house. Something went wrong, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to spend money. And you got all that 401k setting over there that you're on, and maybe you've even if it's not what you consider, some may consider it a lot, some maybe not. You got $500 in the bank and you got to buy a $75 tire, but we still panic because we fail to see what we do have in light of the circumstance that has occurred. And we'll panic a little bit. Older we get, the worse we are about it. Not that I'm old, I've just heard people talk about it. So sometimes we overlook small factors amidst mist and the worries and fears of our lives, such as it was in this storm. Now Sarah and I have actually, you know, we one of the best worship services I've ever been in my life, one of the most memorable, maybe the most memorable worship service I've ever been in my life was when we got on a little old ship that didn't look like it was much, but it was made to look that way, I'm sure. And we get on a little ship and we go to the what is called the other side. And we sailed across the Sea of Galilee one Sunday morning and we stopped right out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And we had worship service on that boat. They had a praise team. They had instruments. And there was about 25 of us on that boat. One of the most memorable worship services I've ever had. And even on that day, it was a beautiful day, sort of like today, in fact. And there was just a little bit of breeze. But when you're on the Sea of Galilee, there's these, we call them here in Virginia and West Virginia, we call them hollers. There's these valleys, these ravines, and as they come in from different directions, the air channels down into them over the lake, over the Sea of Galilee, and what happens is you've always got just a little bit of breeze running, the water's a little bit choppy. But so they told us while we were there that these storms suddenly will come up on the Sea of Galilee. It's not really, it is a lake. It is what it says, the scripture says it is. It's really not a sea at all. It's a good ways to cross it, but it's still what it is. It's a lake. But when turbulence comes from all directions, on the occasion that turbulence comes from every one of those directions and meets, these hideous storms occur on the Sea of Galilee. And they say there's breakers, there's waves as high as 10, sometimes 15 foot tall will occur on this lake. That's waves like you see when the ocean's rough, and it can get really rough in a hurry on that lake. And if you're not watching, if you're not observing, and you're not paying attention, you can get caught in some really, really bad circumstances and situations. Now, what happened though, that this storm came without warning. We got to keep in mind that these things are more sophisticated now. But I can't pick on Travis Roberts anymore since he's not the weatherman. But even the weather people with these sophisticated, have you saw one of those maps of this hurricane that's headed towards the United States? I saw one the other day that had about 1,000 different lines going in every different direction and said this is a possible path that Doreen may take. You know, they really don't know. And we have in Christiansburg in Harbor of Hope Pentecostal Holiness Church, we have a young man. They have a young man there that's a meteorologist on one of the Roanoke TV stations. And I was talking to him back in the early spring, and we were just talking weather because it's sort of something that amazes me. He said, to be honest with you, he said, we still until you get within about 8 hours, we still can't tell you exactly what's going to happen because things can change in such a hurry. You know, life is that way. We plan and we should plan. We prepare and we should prepare. We should do all the things that, you know, common sense tells us to do. But in reality, there's still things that come into our life that come without warning. A few Mondays ago, I looked at the weather. And the weather said, Bluefield, 10% chance of rain. I got on my Harley and I headed to Bluefield. And all this is John and Bridget's fault, by the way. It was their wedding counseling I was coming for. I'm on the Harley. And those of you that don't know, Sarah and I actually reside in Withel. So I come on the Harley, I get coming, and I'm going past Bastion, it's getting cloudy. I get to Rocky Gap, and there's a few drops of rain falling, and being the expert I am, I thought, well, you know what, it's always, if it's raining on this side, it's probably good on the other side of East River. So my mind, I'm a little bit damp on my shoulders, you know, my boots got a little bit damp, not even really wet, and my mind says, when you go through East River Mountain Tunnel, you're going to pop out and there's going to be no rain. It's all going to be sunshine and it's going to be a beautiful day. Wrong answer. I ran into a wall of water. I rode out John Nash Boulevard, and I got off John Nash Boulevard, and I got on 460, and I keep thinking it's all going to get better. And I finally decide it's so bad that my boots are already filled with water, and I turn on the four-way flashers, and I ride on the shoulder of the road, which is not wise, but I didn't have much choice. I go, thank God, Kmart is closed. I rode and pulled my Harley on the porch of Kmart, and I sat there. And I watched it thunder and lightning and rain, and I thought, man, this is only 10%. I sat there and it slacked up, and I thought, we're all good now. And I pulled out, and I'm going to go down Cumberland, because instead of getting back on 460, I got to about Tudor's on Cumberland, and the skies opened up again. There was a bolt of lightning came down, and it jarred my teeth, literally. But I kept riding because I couldn't find a place to pull over in the drive. So I kept riding, and I eventually got here. And I sat here waiting on John and Bridget. It's all their fault. And the water's running out of my boots and out of my pants leg and puddled up behind my desk. And then I see it start running across the floor. But you know what? It was only a 10% chance. It wasn't supposed to happen. Thank God Nathan and Vicky let me borrow their vehicle to go home in, because it never quit storming. But it was only a 10% chance that a storm was going to come. 10%. That means there's 90% chance that it's not going to happen. But you know what? The 10% came. And those types of things happen in our life. They do happen in our life. They occur in our life. And when they occur in our life, many times we begin to focus on what is happening more so than our help and the circumstances that we're actually in. We don't know the duration of the storm that these guys encounter while on this lake, but we do know it was furious. I prefer to believe that it had lasted some time. I prefer, if you know a little bit about biblical history, these boats were not really, really big boats, and no doubt they were very much feeling the ferocious storm, but yet Jesus was asleep. But what happened is there was a moment of desperation that occurred in the life of those disciples. You see, when the hour of desperation come, it allowed their focus to be drawn from the elements that was around them, the elements that seemingly were attacking them, the elements that they thought were going to consume them. It began to allow their focus to be drawn from those elements. They began to think about Jesus. Do you know sometimes you and I, as sanctified and holy and as dedicated and consecrated as we are, do you know lots of times in our situations, the last person we think about is Jesus? The last place we think about going is to Jesus. But suddenly their focus shifted, their circumstance shifted. And I'm sure there was a concern about the size of the waves. And I'm sure they were aware of the integrity of the boat they were on. They probably built this thing or borrowed it from somebody they knew. But it was the height of the desperation. It was in that moment of despair. It's when I know nothing else to do but to stand and stand in the Lord one moment that they went down and however that boat was constructed, but they bent down, knelt down, and they begin to poke Jesus on the shoulder and say, "Hey, will you wake up and help us? Because if you don't, we're all going to die." So what happens is an accurate assessment. They had an accurate assessment of the storm, but they had an inaccurate assessment of who Jesus was until the moment of desperation occurred. You know, we don't like them. We don't like them. I don't like them. I just take it for granted that you probably don't like it, okay? If you like them, you can let me know. And I won't disagree with you at all. If you like them, bless your heart, you can like them. But the fact of the matter is, none of us really, really like those moments or those seasons of desperation that occur in our life. We don't like them. We don't like them because when that moment of desperation occurs, what it means is we've been stretched to the max. We have been pulled to the furthest point we think we can go. You know, and somebody says, "Well, you know what? The Bible says the Lord won't put on you any more than you can stand." I never have found that in the Bible. No. I never have, but I do find that He is a very present help in the time of trouble. I do find out that when I'm stretched to the max, He is still faithful and He is still true and He still loves me and He's still abiding and His presence is still with me. And in the height of that desperation, they called on Jesus. And when I examined my life, I found that a lot of times it just takes me reaching the height of desperation for me to get down to business like I need to get down to business with who God is and to call out on Him. So sometimes that storm that brings us to the height of desperation is actually a blessing in disguise, if you would. Especially if Jesus is asleep in your boat. If He's asleep in your boat. Because it was in that height of desperation that they remembered Jesus is on board. And when they remembered Jesus was on board, they begin to become less preoccupied with the storm and more preoccupied with who Jesus is. Because when you study this scripture out, they said, What kind of man is this? And even the waves, the winds, they listen to Him. They obey Him. He can do all these things. And they didn't get to marvel at the magnitude of the storm anymore. The storm, He's uncalmed it. The seas are glassy. The winds are not blowing. They've already forgot about the storm. Their moment of desperation is over. And now they're marveling in who Jesus is. Look who Jesus is. Man, this guy is different than anybody that we've ever seen. You see, as long as you and I are trying to hold our boat together, as long as you and I are holding on, just hoping we don't get thrown overboard, we are not putting our dependency, and we are not actually, we have forgotten, if you would, at least it's slipped to the back of our mind. While we're doing everything we can to hold on, while we're, you know, I love all kinds of music. Y'all know that. I even love some of the rap music, as long as I can understand what they're saying. But we used to sing a lot of them old songs, and I was listening to a church service not long ago, and they were singing songs about, you know, getting ready to die and all that. And that's okay, you know, I think everybody needs to get ready to die, it's good, it has its place and all like that. But we used to sing those songs about if I can just hold on just a little bit longer. Sometimes we've taken on the attitude, we've taken on the personality, if you would, that I'm just trying to hold on. I'm just trying to do the best I can. I'm just trying to hang on. And it's important to hang on. It's important not to give up. Don't misunderstand me. But listen to this. When we realize realize that Jesus is sleeping in the boat, we can do more than just hold on to the side rail. We can do more than just hold on to the mast. We can do more than just hold on and hope the sun comes up and our boat's still together. When we realize that Jesus is in our boat, He's in, listen, and what I mean by that, Jesus is on our side, we can weather the storms. Our moments of desperation can turn into inspiration, and we can experience God in a magnitude that perhaps we never have before. So when we remember who's asleep in our boat, now Jesus really doesn't sleep. I know physically the man Jesus was asleep. But let me tell you, because Jesus is God, He wasn't incapacitated. He had never lost control. Jesus could lay down and sleep because He knew. He had already seen the other side. He had already knew what was going to happen when they got to the other side. But see, but He is God, and we're not, and we're fleshly, and our fleshly keeps us sometimes preoccupied with the circumstances. But the most important fact is, in this account of Scripture, is Jesus was on the journey with them. You see, and that should be important to us, because if we have trusted Him and we've called on Him, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins, the Bible says. He says, I'm not going to leave you here, and I'm not leaving you here without any help, but I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you another advocate. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send to you the Holy Ghost. In other words, my Spirit is going to abide in you. So you're not on this journey alone. You're not going across the sea by yourself. You're not going, you're not trying to get to Oz to get back to Kansas by yourself, Dorothy. Listen, and you don't need a lion and a scarecrow and a tin man to go with you, because Jesus is with you. He will see you on the journey. He will provide for you. He will provide for me, and He will take care of us. But what we have to do is grasp the character, the nature of who Christ is. Christ Jesus is sovereign. Paul wrote to the church in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, Paul wrote this. He said, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and created for Him. Do you realize what that says to me? To just give you a short summary of everything. We know that Scripture, God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Everything that exists, everything that is subject unto the power of God. Everything is subject to the creation of God. Last night, Sarah and I were driving, up the road, and the sun had already went down, and I think that was last night. Was it last night? Maybe the night before last. Anyway, one night, last couple of nights, we was driving along, and you could see the moon, and I don't know what they call the different phases of the moon. I call it a sliver. Just a little sliver of light coming off the edge of the moon. But you could see the silhouetted image of the rest of the moon. And I told Sister Sarah, and go ahead and say it, I'm weird, I know I am, but I told Sister Sarah, I said, look up there, isn't that beautiful? You can see thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away, this big old beam, this big old rock, if you would, and you can see the silhouetted image of it, and it seemingly is perfectly round, but somewhere millions and millions and millions of miles away is this great old big star that is not on the opposite side of the earth right now, but because it's shining its light so brightly and it's hitting that moon, that round body that's out there, and you're seeing just a little glimmer of light over it. I said, how could anybody look at that and not realize that there is a God, and a God that is in control, because He set the planets in order. He hung the moon. He hung every star, including the sun. And how can we say that God is not a God of order? How can we say that God is not in control? God is unfailing. Y'all causing me to get some preach on this morning. God is unfailing. When I study the New Testament in Matthew 28, is where I'm pulling from. But the 19th and 20th verse, Jesus said this. He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then he concludes that charge. He concludes that charge with this all important, very familiar and all important sentence. He said, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's time. That's the disposition of time. Time as we know it. Listen, when Jesus is through with this world, as we know it, when He comes back and He sets one foot on land and He sets one foot on sea, and I know my little old short legs won't do that justice, but He declares that time will be no more. The age that we know now will cease to exist. The clocks will discontinue running. The hands may quit going around on the old mechanical clocks. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but even if we saw one, so we would scratch our heads like some of these millennials do now if they see a payphone. What is that? Because we won't even need a clock. We won't need to know. There is no such thing as time. But Jesus said this. He said, I am with you always until the end of this age. You can't hide from Him. You can't exempt Him. You can't run Him off. Listen to me. Even when people don't want Him, Jesus is still in the midst. He's still round about. They might not accept Him. They might have hardened their hearts to Him, but He is still waiting, and He's looming in. He's not looming in the shadows because He's light and there can't be a shadow, but He's looming there on the outskirts of lives of people that have rejected Him and turned Him aside. And He's just waiting for that moment when they invite Him. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Doesn't matter where they're at, what they're doing, what, none of that. They're just waiting for that moment. And He will step right in. But He's, until then, He's still aware. He's still aware. He has never forgotten you. He's never forgotten your loved ones. He's never forgotten your friends. He is unfailing in His presence. So why do we have all these storms? Why do we have all these storms? Well, listen, we would never know the blessing of the deliverer if we never need deliverance. There'd never be a testimony if we didn't have a test. We would never be able to know the value of a safe place until we've been exposed to danger. I never understood the value of Nathan and Vicky's 4Runner until that 10% chance of rain. You never understand those things. It's like you never miss your electricity until it's been out for 2 or 3 days, do you? And we'll never know the power of the Redeemer until we know that we need redemption. So when the unexpected occurs, when the storms, the things that we don't plan on, the things that we thought we had prepared for, but we really weren't prepared for, the things that occur in our life, realizing this, that they oftentimes, maybe even, I'll stretch it and say that every time, they are blessings in disguise because they call me to cast my cares and my troubles at the feet of Jesus. He's not bothered by them. He's not overcome by them. They're not worrisome to Him. He doesn't look at me and say, well, why do you just show up when you got problems? You know, that's my instinct, you know, to say my son's been good, but every once in a while I may not hear from him for a day or so, and I'll hear from him when he needs something. You know, y'all know mamas and daddies, y'all know how that is. But Jesus is a better daddy than I am. Jesus is a better mama than you are. Jesus is a better daddy than you are. And it doesn't bother Him a bit in the world when we show up and says, hey daddy, I'm in trouble. The storm, we're going to drown. These waves are bad. The boat's coming apart. The storm's been going on for hours. Remember, daddy's asleep in the boat. And he doesn't really mind being woken. He doesn't really mind being awakened out of his sleep. But I've thought about this scenario. I thought about the circumstance. But you know what? These guys that got in that boat to sail across that lake, you know something? They couldn't be scared. They couldn't have afforded to be scared to sail. They had to get in the boat. You know, sometimes you and I, our problem is we're scared to get in the boat to start with. Talk about Peter all you want to. Petra. Talk about him all you want to. Peter has preached more from the critical side of his person than he is the positive side of his person. But how many of us in this room got to walk on water? Well, he didn't walk too many steps, Pastor. You know, before he sank, I don't care how many steps he walked. He did something none of the rest of us have done. He did something that the others that remained in that boat did. I can imagine, oh Lord, Peter's only get out and try it. You know him. You know? He's been hanging out with John the Baptist. He's a Baptist. He thinks he can just walk on water. Yeah. But listen. They would have never experienced the storm if they hadn't sailed in the boat. And you and I will never experience the fullness of the blessings that God has for us if we don't get out in the boat. Because if we avoid the dangers, we will miss the deliverer. If we avoid the dangers, if we do our best to avoid all the perils of life, we would miss the deliverer. Some of y'all heard the story about a number of years ago. My son was just a very early teenager, and we always went, you know, on family vacation. All of it, all the cousins and everybody, we all went together. We sort of like we was from West Virginia, and we wasn't from West Virginia. We all went. And we went tubing, and down the river out, not too far from Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And long story short, I jumped off of my tube because my son needed some help. He was drifting over and had got trapped against a cliff. And my nephew was standing right beside of me, and he's a little bit taller than me, not a whole lot, but he's standing in waist deep water. So I thought, well, I don't help my son. I'm just going to jump off and grab hold of his tube and pull him over. And I jumped off that tube, and I never, ever touched bottom. I never touched bottom. I swim. There are sand rocks that have greater swimming skills than me, okay? One of the most stressful, scary moments I've ever had in my life. I had a life jacket on, but it wasn't fitted properly. I don't guess that's covered by law. My life jacket came up to here, and it was actually holding me below water. My nephew, which can swim, he saw I was in trouble, and he came over and he pulled me out. Okay? I have to say, the river tubing to me personally probably wasn't worth what I went through, but I'm glad that I had somebody there to deliver me, because there's a good possibility I could have drowned because I was panicking. Understand this. There is a deliverer for you. Don't panic in your situation. Don't panic in your situation. Jesus didn't allow you to come into something without Him being able to make the provision to bring you out of it. Amen. So cast your care, cast your troubles, cast your dependencies on Him. Listen. If there had never been a storm, surely Jesus would have still been in the boat. But if the storm hadn't come, they would have never known Jesus in the capacity that they knew Him in by the time. Listen, because when they got to the other side, they saw Jesus in a different light. They beheld Him in a different manner. And when we begin to allow our... when we begin to allow our comforts to hinder us from getting into the boat, we're going to miss something. We're not going to know Jesus and see Jesus in the fullness that He would like for us to know Him in. So whether you're in a storm that's raging, or whether you're just scared to get in the boat because you don't know what's going to happen once you set sail, rest assured of this. If Jesus is sleeping in your boat, if He is sleeping in your boat, all is well. All is well if Jesus is sleeping in your boat, because He will bless you. He will keep you. He will take care of you. So this morning, for those of us in this room, and maybe even those watching perhaps by social media or listening this morning, maybe the storms of life have you scared to death. But have you thought about, wait a minute, Jesus is sleeping in my boat. Maybe you've been prevented. Maybe you've hindered yourself from getting in the boat just to go to the other side. But have you considered, Jesus is sleeping in my boat? Is Jesus sleeping in your boat? I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment and close your eyes. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, or maybe you've been saved and you've drifted far, far away, you've let your experience with Christ wax cold. If that's you this morning, I want you to know you're that one I was talking about a few minutes ago. He's just waiting. He's standing by. He's just waiting for that opportunity. He's waiting for that invitation. If that's you this morning, could I ask you to do something for me without, and I won't embarrass you, I promise I won't. I'm not going to come get you, I'm not going to call you out. But if that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to dedicate, or I need to rededicate my life to Christ this morning. Is there one person in this room? I take it by the lack of response that everybody is satisfied with your relationship with Christ. Now I want to ask you another question. As you look at me, look at me. You're here this morning. The waves are rolling. The waves are crashing. They're coming in the ship. They're coming in that boat. The boards are starting to come off. The sails are torn. Everything's ripping apart. You don't know what to do. It's in the middle of the night. You feel like it's the darkest time of your life you've ever been in. But did you know this? Since you didn't raise your hand, that tells me Jesus must be sleeping in your boat. Who in here would say this morning, I need to wake Jesus up? Who would say that? Those of you who say, I need to wake Jesus up, I want us to come up here, especially you, that said, I need to wake Jesus up. I don't care what's going on in our life. I do care. But let me say this. No matter what's going on in your life, all we got to do is walk down in that boat and begin to say, Hey, Jesus, wake up. Because don't you care what's going on in my life? He's not going to be offended at you. He's not going to be upset with you. So if you need to wake Jesus up this morning, if you need to talk to Him about something, I want you to come on down here and let's pray and let's seek God together with one another, because I want you to know He's ready to hear your call. He's ready to hear your request, and He was going to rise to your attention, and He's going to speak to the winds, and He can speak to the waves, and He is going to be there in the midst of your storm. Amen. I need some other people to come and to join with us in prayer. We say goodbye to our Facebook audience.